Ring, written by Andre Alexis, narrated by Andre Alexis and Werona Sechuayelo. For Elaine Stasiulis. Epigraph. The violin's mourning voices sing above the spreading smoke. Give thanks to heaven, you are alone with your love for the first time. From In the Evening, by Anna Akhmatova. Chapter 1. An Engagement and a Marriage. Guinevere Lloyd disliked Tancred Palmieri at first sight. There was something unsettling about the way he observed her, as if he were staring at a blemish on her face. Then, when their eyes met, he turned away, as if he lacked conviction, which made Gwen feel even more self-conscious. His friend Olivier, in contrast, was charming. He asked if she'd like a glass of wine, and, when she said she would, a coupe of Prosecco appeared, as if it had been waiting for her. "Is this okay?" he'd asked. And when she thanked him, he said, "My name's Olivier, and this is my friend, Tancred." Tancred had turned to her then and smiled. His demeanor changed. Now he seemed entirely at ease, confident. And why not? The man was tall, broad-shouldered, and handsome. His skin was dark, and his eyes were a bright blue. "It's nice to meet you," he said. All his attention was hers, briefly, before he turned toward an older woman who'd called his name. "There you are, Tan," said the woman. "We should be going soon. 10 minutes? The woman, lively and trim, wore a black evening dress. Her red lipstick was too much, but aside from that, she was discreet. Her wealth obvious only if you recognized her accessories: white gold Buccellati earrings and a Serpent Bohème necklace. As it happened, Gwen recognized neither the accessories nor the woman. This was Simone Azarian Thompson, one of the inheritors of the Azarian fortune. They were all on the top floor of the Gardner Museum at a fundraiser for the Toronto Symphony. Simone, who had not stopped to greet or even acknowledge Gwen, was obviously in her element. She must have attended hundreds of events like this one, whereas Gwen could not help feeling out of place. Even things that should have delighted her made her uneasy. The view of the Royal Ontario Museum, for instance. How wonderful to look over at the still unmodernized face of the building, a place her father had often taken her. In her 28 years, she'd never seen the museum from quite this angle, and the ROM seemed new, wonderful. But it also felt as if she were looking down on an old friend while in the company of men in suits and women in evening wear, all of them conversing as tidbits were presented to them on silver platters: mac and cheese with truffle oil, tuna tartare on crackers, finger-shaped eggplant and parmesan sandwiches. Gwen, 5'9", the daughter of a Welsh-born man and a woman of African descent, a country girl having grown up near Sarnia, had come to keep her friend Nadia company. Nadia had got tickets to the fundraiser when one of the executives in the office where she worked could not attend. "Is it formal?" Nadia had asked. "No, it's casual," had been the answer. Apparently, a handful of people had been told the same thing, enough of them that Gwen did not feel out of place in her black pencil skirt and dark blouse, her long, frizzy hair held up and out of her face by a navy hairband. But while there was informal wear to be seen, the fundraiser was only casual, the way nonchalant displays of wealth are casual. Olivier was among those who were not flagrantly wealthy, but he was not casually dressed. There was something European about his appearance: a light growth of beard, deep-set hazel eyes, a strong jaw, his ears almost eccentric, one of them sticking out more than the other, his brown hair luxurious on top, but neatly trimmed on the side, and his choice of clothes: dark gray chinos, a light blue shirt open at the neck, a blue jacket. And he smelt faintly, pleasingly, of sandalwood, vanilla, and
Sample complete. Ready to continue?